Welcome to the Morning Struggle Podcast. I'm Jesse.
And I'm Ty, and we bring you habits of successful people. What are we talking about today?
Mascots.
Mascots? How to be a successful mascotter?
No.
Okay, well, I'm excited to find out what we're doing. Activate. Disclaimer, Jesse comes up with the segment topics.
I do.
And sometimes I think she just wakes up in the middle of the night from a crazy dream and says, we're going to talk about this tomorrow. It's every woman's fantasy to nail down her significant other mm-hmm. and talk about craziness that happens in her life and in her dreams. Mm-hmm. True or false?
True.
True. Mm-hmm. All right. So mascots. We're talking about mascots.
We are talking about mascots. And this is not an excuse for me to talk about the Texas Rangers for an entire hour.
Right. Do they have a mascot?
What? Oh my gosh.
I don't know.
Okay. I don't know. I think we might be done here.
Podcast over, folks. It's been a journey. Jesse is a really big Texas Rangers fan.
Yes.
And they play what sport? Croquet. Cricket team.
The baseball.
They play baseball.
The baseball.
American cricket. Mm-hmm. Got it. Okay. So, but anyway, welcome to the Morning Struggle Podcast. We do habits of successful people. This is spirit animals, essentially, though, right?
Yeah, but I'm going to talk about why the difference is, because spirit animals is an actual religious ritual and rite.
We're not talking about that.
Yeah, and that's
why
it's
talking about personifying.
Yep.
Why we personify animals and vicious things.
Yeah, and how we can actually benefit from it, because like this, it's like a personal mascot.
Okay, so a personal mascot.
Sports teams have them and that kind of thing, but you can actually use it to empower yourself as well.
Okay, so but not spirit animal. That's religious, and that gets in a whole different path.
Yeah,
we're just talking about a little piece of it.
Yeah,
I'm just going to take a little piece of spirit animal.
Yeah,
is that what
exactly.
we're doing?
Yeah, mm-hmm, exactly.
All right, I think my history segment then is way off on a tangent.
Do you get to talk about mascots?
I'm going to talk about mascots.
I love mascots.
All right, well, let's get right into the history segment. We do a history, we do a science, we do a coffee segment, and then an action plan.
Mm-hmm.
So we can take whatever Jesse comes up with
yep.
and then practice it and incorporate it into our lives. And so,
to benefit you.
To benefit. Okay, here we go.
This day in history.
All right, you ready?
Yes.
Some of the most unbelievable mascot stories. This came from a prestigious journal, the Internet.
The Internet.
There's so much information on that thing. Yeah. It's amazing. I just open it up
too.
And it's there.
Peer-reviewed
Internet. Number one. You ready?
Yep.
The mascot who paid $1 million to be a part of Floyd Mayweather's entourage. You know the boxer? Floyd Mayweather?
Yeah.
He's like...
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway...
Wait a minute.
Do you remember Burger King's The King? The King guy with the fake head it's a plastic... Oh, I just hit my mic. The plastic head?
Yeah.
Anyway, after Burger King reportedly dumped The King as their mascot in 2011...
Okay.
The King went out on a social media rampage and supposedly paid $1 million to Mayweather to be part of the entourage for his fight of the century... With Manny Pacquiao.
Okay.
So Floyd has a huge entourage. Mm-hmm. He's a typical boxer, making millions of dollars. He's got people and he's got his chains. He's the big time.
Right.
And then he's got the Burger King King standing next to him in his entourage. I don't understand that one.
That's so weird.
But apparently it worked. It was all over the internet. It got more publicity than the Biebs, than the Mark Wahlbergs, than the Jay-Z's. It didn't even matter who else was in the entourage. Uh-huh. Everybody was talking about the King. And everybody was buying Whoppers. So good job, Burger King.
Can you pay to be in an entourage?
Yeah,
I guess so.
If anybody wants to pay me to be in my entourage, sure. I don't see why anybody would say
bucks.
No. Yeah, I wouldn't even need $20. Give me a snack. The mascot who drank on the job. Are you ready for this one?
Oh, no.
This one is in Austria. Back in Europe, those folks, they're drinking all the time.
It's
apparently, I don't know. But this was a soccer match, or football, if you're from that part of the woods.
Yep.
And Austria beat Wiener Neustadt.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Nailed that one in a 2-1 victory. And the Austrians team were the Lions.
Mm-hmm.
The mascot is Super Leo. He is a Superman costume.
Aww.
Looks like he's got hockey pads underneath it.
Okay.
And then a big lion head.
Okay.
Well, he had been all day at the Lion Festival. I don't know if that's because it was really a, like, just called the Lions Festival,
yeah,
or that was a mascot festival for lions.
I don't know
how many lion mascots there are. But he was drinking all day because it's his birthday. Then he went to the game as a mascot. Well, he got hot and sweaty in his outfit, took off his lion head, ran out onto the field, and then laid down and took a nap. So you can see there's security guards trying to pull him off.
Yeah, that's the cardinal rule. You don't take your head off.
Oh, he took it off and he laid down on the field. That guy's my hero. Austria. Next one. The weatherman who was the first Ronald McDonald. Do you know who the first Ronald McDonald was?
Nope.
It would surprise you. Famed weatherman and legendary TV personality, Willard Scott.
Okay.
You can look him up on the internet. You say, I know who Willard Scott is. He does the weather. He's that weather guy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, back in the day, he was the first Ronald McDonald.
Oh.
Wore a paper cup for a nose, had a cardboard food tray for a hat, and a magic belt that produced hamburgers. Way creepy. He had the tagline, I like to do everything boys and girls like to do, especially when it comes to eating those delicious McDonald's hamburgers. Well, needless to say, this didn't go over very well. Two things happened.
That's so bad.
One, they said, you're creeptastic, sorry. But number two, this was so sad. They said, we want our hamburgers to be associated with fit people, so we need a skinny Ronald McDonald. Because everybody knows when you go to McDonald's, aww, you're doing it to get skinny, get the abs. So let's make sure Ronald McDonald's got the abs.
Oh my gosh.
So he got fired. And then Ronald McDonald became more clowny. He had his yellow jumpsuit. Did you know they got rid of the yellow jumpsuit?
Why?
Now got yellow cargo pants and a rugby polo. Did you see
what?
That?
No.
I saw it a little while ago.
They got to understand, it's not...
That's why we don't go to McDonald's anymore. Because if you're not going to do your clowns right...
Anymore?
Yeah, anymore. I used to go to McDonald's all the time. You don't go to McDonald's all the time?
I don't.
That's okay. What? Next one. You ready? I like this one. Can I say this one on the air?
I don't know. So I don't know what you're going to say.
This next one is the Association for the Assistance of People with Cancer in Brazil.
Okay.
So they say it in Spanish. I don't speak Spanish, so I'm going to say it in American.
Perfect.
But this one, they developed a mascot for testicular cancer.
Okay.
Senor Testiculo.
Is he a giant testicle?
Yep. Yes, he is.
Yes.
Yes, he is.
Yes.
All the stuff. It's worth a Google.
How do you differentiate him versus like just a bouncing ball or a balloon?
Well, there's two. There's two bouncing balls on that one.
No.
Yeah. Yeah. It's
not.
It's worth a Google. It's worth a Google.
No.
The next one, you ready?
Oh, goodness.
There was a mascot who was kidnapped for ransom. Dartmouth College. You're going to talk about this. They originally had the Indian in 1971, and they nixed it.
Yes,
Because it was a bad idea. It was racist and all this stuff. So in 2003, they developed an unofficial mascot called Keggy the Keg. And it was a beer keg. Because what do college kids do? They drink. And then what else do college kids do? They Insta-face it.
Uh-huh.
And this became a national sensation. It was on ESPN everywhere. Keggy the Keg.
Keggy the Keg.
Well, there's some, probably some kind of religious Protestant group in there says, we don't like those drinkers.
Yeah.
We are going to rebel against them.
Mm-hmm.
And they stole Keg, or they kidnapped Keggy the Keg. They went into the frat house, they stole the mascot costume,
mm-hmm,
and then they sent ransom photos to the fraternity,
yes,
with Keggy the Keg tied up and a bruised eye, ripped nose, the whole works. They finally, after a police investigation, they got it back.
Okay.
But he was beat up. So Keggy the Keg had some PTSD. So
yeah.
He only made a few appearances after that. So it was kind of a traumatic story.
Keggy the Keg, huh?
Yep. The next one, the mascot who was arrested for throwing snowballs. In December of 20...
This is the weirdest segment.
In December of 2010, Robert Garfield III.
Okay.
He was a very prestigious mascot person. Uh-huh. He was representing his football team.
Is this the man or
the
mascot?
The person.
Okay.
The University of Cincinnati. He was a Bearcat.
Oh, Bearcat. Okay.
Bearcats. Bearcats were playing in Pittsburgh. I don't know what Pittsburgh's is, but Pittsburgh's got, that's not important, because what did this guy do?
Mm-hmm.
He started throwing snowballs.
Yeah, he did.
He jumped up on a pillar and started throwing snowballs down to the Pittsburgh fans. Well, they start throwing snowballs back.
Yep.
Well, they're not very good throwers in Pittsburgh. Apparently just their quarterback is. I don't know. I don't know Pittsburghians.
Okay.
But a lot of them missed and started hitting Cincinnati fans, and it turned into a massive riotous snowball fight.
What?
So when the police showed up, said, everybody's got to stop this, the mascot didn't. He was doing the Braveheart thing. Well, you got to take me down.
No.
Yep. And so the police had to tackle him because he shoved an officer. They tackled him and arrested this guy. And the Garfield was given a citation for disorderly conduct.
Did they keep his head on?
Did they keep his...
Ooh, as they arrested him?
I don't know.
Because that's fantastic. Maybe. If they did.
The next one, we're going to breeze over this one because this one's kind of actually gross. A mascot arrested in a sex sting. So Jay Hastings, he's the Grump. It's a big green Muppet-like character for a minor league baseball team, the Scranton Yankees.
Oh, Scranton.
And he was arrested for soliciting sex on the internet.
Wait, as the mascot?
As the mascot.
Oh, come on.
Yes, and he would show up in the mascot van, in the team van. So that's the least discreet way. If you're gonna do shady stuff... Don't do it in the mascot costume. Everybody's going to see you. Like, oh, somebody shoplift. What do you look like? He was a big green Muppet. I'm pretty sure we can find him. But anyway, all right, and the last one, this one is great. I love this one. This one's got irony written all over it. Do you remember who McGruff was?
I do.
McGruff was the crime dog. Yeah. The National Crime Prevention Council.
Scruff. McGruff. Scruff. Chicago, Illinois.
Yep.
60652.
What? Look at you. We didn't even prep that. Everybody, just so you know, that came out of memory, out of Jesse's brain.
Yeah.
Wow. But anyway, he was a cartoon bloodhound dog.
Yes.
And this was from the 1980s. It was to boost crime awareness among children. You know, we'd take a bite out of crime.
Yeah.
Well, someone took a bite out of him because in 2011, John R. Morales, the actor who played McGruff, who put the mascot stuff on and maybe the voice, I don't know. Anyway, he was pulled over by police in Texas who found blueprints for an indoor marijuana growing facility and pot seeds in his car. And they discovered more than 1,000 pot plants, an entire arsenal of weaponry, and a grenade launcher.
What?
He was sentenced to 16 years in prison.
Holy cow.
He's the crime. You can't sentence the crime dog.
Wow.
Or maybe you do. You bring him down. You bring in a bunch of crime fighting cats. So there you go.
Do you think in prison he got as he walked by, Scruff, McGruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652. Do you think they did that as he'd walk by?
I think they did. And it was more the West Side Story kind of style. Ooh, where all the prisoners all are clicking. Snapping and they're dancing choreography like. Yeah, that absolutely happens all the time.
If I find myself in prison, I'm hoping not, but if for some reason I find myself in prison.
You better be good on your musicals
and
your dance numbers.
I'm going to sing little catchphrases for everyone. I'm going to get beat up a lot,
yeah.
but it'll be a good time.
But you'll be releasing serotonin. Everybody will be releasing more serotonin, which is going to make prison a better place.
And it's going to make people more patient, more, you know, better behavior. See? Yeah.
Make prison a better place.
I can't believe that. Yeah. No, McGruff, no.
No, it's take a bite out of crying. That's his one. So anyway, that's your mascot episodes.
Oh my goodness.
I hope some of those are fun. Those are cocktail style party stories.
I like the guy
stories.
Who took off the head and fell asleep in the middle of the...
Oh, that's the best one.
The field, that's amazing.
I hope he didn't lose his job. I hope they said, you actually got us a lot of publicity on that one.
You're like, great.
Congratulations.
Good job, sir.
Here's a raise.
Happy birthday.
We're giving you bigger shoulders, Mr. Superhero Lion. So anyway, that's your mascot. So we do a history segment. Now we're going to get into science. We're going to get back into personal mascots.
Yes.
And how you can take that lion mascot and incorporate it into what you do to be braver and stronger and funner. What?
Yes, all those things.
So, let's get into it then.
Okay, so here is my segue into this. It's not a spirit animal. It's a mascot.
We're talking about personal mascots, so not spirit animals.
Not spirit animals. So lots of cultures have religious practices around spirit animals, not just indigenous people, but also the Celtic folks, what do we call this? A family coat of arms?
Yeah, the coat of arms.
Yeah, so
the shield with the lions on it.
Yeah, that's considered a mascot or a spirit animal, depending on if it also has religious significance for you.
Okay.
And then also just general myths and legends also have spirit animal ties. That is not what I'm talking about.
Okay.
We're not going to go into religious practices and that kind of thing. And it actually was really interesting because I went down the rabbit hole a little bit when people are like, coffee's my spirit animal, that kind of thing. It's kind of insultive to the actual process, because the spirit animal process is an actual...
The real deal.
Yeah.
So, like, so start calling ritual, it your personal mascot.
Personal mascot, okay. Yeah. And so that's why I came up with that term, is because I was like, oh, okay. No, this fits better.
Okay.
So a couple thing about mascots in general. They're lucky charms. They embody strength.
Of course. That's why sports teams have mascots.
Exactly.
They're lucky.
It's the psychology of victory. There's actually a lot of really good research on mascots, which was, it's got to be fun doing it, because you're sitting there like walking around taking data on a mascot. I think that would be
fantastic. And there's so many antics that happen around mascots. It'd be such a fun, exciting study to do.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it'd be fun. So the big pieces with a personal mascot is they embody determination and fearlessness.
That's why I have them in a lot of sports teams.
A lot of sports teams, but also like when we're like, we're going to, the eye of the tiger, the fire. Have you watched Rocky lately? Old movies?
Yeah, like once a week.
Why would every outfit you have a tiger on the back of your shirt?
That's the best kind. All my shirts have tigers on them. Have you not seen that? I wear a lot of coats, but when I take my coat off. Because it's your personal mascot. Because
I was at physical therapy, and I was like, oh my goodness, every single shirt this Rocky guy has a tiger on it.
Because
they were playing the Rocky movie, one of them.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, are these specially made?
Yeah, it's for Sylvester Stallone. It's not a Rocky thing. That's a Sylvester. I think it's in his contract. He has to wear either no shirt or a tiger shirt.
Oh, that's a good point. Anyway, okay, so statistically speaking, and this has been actually shown, is that if you're using a personal mascot, so whether that's within a sports team or as an individual, it reinforces resilience. So even if you're down and out on your luck, that kind of thing, if we're using a mascot, it increases our resilience and our ability to bounce back. And it significantly contributes to a positive mental state. So even if you're having a rough time or you're struggling, you're more likely to have a more positive outlook, which makes it so you have more positive outcomes.
So this is a personal mascot.
Mm-hmm.
So give me an example of a personal mascot.
We're going to get into it. I'm just going to go through a couple more points, okay. And then we'll get into like actual personal ones. So also, mascots bring everyone together. So you can have a family mascot.
Ooh, okay. Yeah. If you want to bring your family together.
Which is really, really very cool. Not that I want to talk about baseball, but let's take a moment and talk about AA baseball. Specifically, I don't know, the Frisco Rough Riders, should we say that?
Okay.
Because they're the farm team for the Texas Rangers. I don't know if you've heard of them.
Yeah, they're World Series champions. Everybody's heard of them. We all watch cricket. I get it.
Cricket. So their mascot is Teddy Roosevelt.
They're the Rough Riders.
Yeah, they're the Rough Riders. So the bull moose, that kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
And so you can actually, so I feel like our family mascot should be Teddy Roosevelt as well, because I talk about Teddy Roosevelt quite a bit.
Everybody's family mascot should be Teddy Roosevelt.
Well, in America, it's really interesting, this idea of the mascot of Teddy Roosevelt, like this, he's really smart, but he's also very adventurous, and he doesn't take any flack from anybody.
Just personifies what we want to be.
Yeah, exactly. So it's bringing people together in a spirit of who we actually kind of want to be. So we want to be fearless. We want to be strong. We want to be successful. That kind of stuff.
Is that why we're the eagle? Isn't the bald eagle our mascot?
Yeah, I mean, for like...
I guess it's our bird.
It's on the flag. Not on the flag, but it's on our Utah... Or it was on our Utah flag.
It's our seal.
It's on the seal. That's what I was trying to come up with.
Things like that. And I don't know, the bald eagles at the zoo, they don't fly very much. They don't look that impressive.
Those
big
ones, honey, are hurt. That's why they're at the zoo.
Oh, well, that makes more sense. Yeah, now it makes more sense why they're not flying around picking kids off.
Yeah, they're...
They're big.
That's what you're looking for. They're huge.
They're big.
They're really big. That's why they have those ramps for them, because
they're not flying.
And they're very well protected.
Oh, that makes more sense.
They have the net and everything.
All right, now I feel bad. Sorry, Eagles.
Sorry, Eagles. They're massive, though, aren't they? Yeah. It's really crazy. Okay, and then a sense of belonging. So it's a really interesting effect that it has, where folks who are experiencing loneliness actually gravitate towards sports. Like sports teams.
Because you feel part of something.
You feel part of something, and part of the supporting of the team, then all together. Like if we're all wearing Texas Rangers hats, for example, then we are suddenly part of a group. And so my loneliness goes down because now I'm part of a group, of an accepted group. So if we're, like we went to the, when we went to the Rangers Angels game and how, you know, our oldest daughter and me were the only ones. Oh, and one kid. There was one other teenager who had a Texas Rangers
hat. We went to a baseball game in California. And they were playing the Texas Rangers, and Jessie wore all her Rangers stuff and embarrassed us so bad.
it didn't embarrass you.
There were a ton of snowballs thrown at us. So many snowballs thrown at us in Southern California.
It was really kind of fun because it was myself, my daughter, and this one teenage boy. And we would get so excited when the Texas Rangers did literally anything good at all. And all of the Angels, we were surrounded by Angels fans, and they, everybody would kind of look at you like, what? But it was, but we were a team. Suddenly this kid, because he had to text, I don't know this kid, but because he has the hat, we are all now part of this team. And so we're not very lonely because we're a little team.
And you center around that mascot.
Yeah. And the big thing with that is that, like, Jonah Heim, for example, who was the catcher for the Texas Rangers. Oh, let me get on my soapbox real quick. Did you know that MLB put out a top 10 catchers of this last season? Guess who wasn't on it?
Heim time.
No, Heim time was not on there.
Oh my gosh.
And so I would like MLB to write me an email and explain to me.
To redact that. Write Jesse at the Morning Struggle Podcast at gmail.com
and
explain why.
Explain yourself,
MLB commissioner.
Because if it's based on stats, you're also very wrong.
Oh, okay.
So it's someone's opinion that he didn't end up on there.
Is this turning into a Texas Rangers podcast?
Slowly. I'm trying to get there. Yeah. But it's very difficult to identify with players because they're athletes and most of us are not built like athletes.
Okay. So we don't identify. We're kind of intimidated or they're the superhero style thing.
Yep.
But the mascot, who's a big blobby Muppet.
Yeah. Or a horse or an eagle or whatever it is, we can identify with that and it makes it more approachable.
Oh.
So by having this approachable mascot that's part of this team, we're all wearing the same gear, we're all part of the same unit.
I like that.
Yeah. So the big thing, I do need to address the Native American mascots that have throughout the years.
And there's a big push recently to either incorporate indigenous tribes into the system, like the University of Utah, the Utah Utes.
With actual respectful culture.
We went to a red-tailed hawk as the mascot.
Swoop.
We went to Swoop, and then they brought in the Ute tribe to council on all that. I thought it was great.
Yeah.
And what was the baseball team? The Cleveland Indians changed.
Yeah, a lot of baseball teams
Cleveland Guardians.
Yeah, so the big thing is that we don't want to perpetuate racist stereotypes. So it's one thing as a lion being a vicious lion, right? But we're not running out and killing lions because they're scary, right? But that was part of the push with, like, having Native Americans. They were having them always carry, like, axes or, you know, which also was, like, they're fearless warriors and that kind of thing. But it perpetuated fear. That's not appropriate. So,
okay. So that's why that went away.
And that's why we're not doing that anymore.
Great.
And I think that's a fantastic thing. So I'm going to go over specific animals and what they would be because we're going to identify what our personal mascot is.
All right.
Okay. So a bison. A bison is a persevering animal with strength, stability, and it is a fierce personality. So it's intimidating and encouraging.
They are. If you've ever seen a bison in real life, they're scary.
They are big and scary.
And mean.
Mm-hmm.
And smelly.
Yes. That's perpetuating.
Oh, sorry, bad stereotypes.
Things. Yeah.
Sorry, bison. God, I am all over the slandering of our precious animals.
Yep.
Okay.
Horses. Horses are fast, well-developed sense of balance. They have inner and outer strength. So, you want to hear something interesting?
Yes.
So the Cincinnati Reds baseball team used to be. So they're Mr. Red now. And they used to be the Cincinnati Red Stockings. And so I just love that baseball teams were naming their teams off of their socks.
Yeah, White Sox,
that
Red
was
Sox.
What their, yeah, that's the what Red their Stockings. Original mascots were.
Yeah.
Yeah, and now, I mean, a lot of them adopt horses or baseball-headed things, but I just thought that was a funny side note. Bears.
Bears
are powerful physical, have a powerful physical presence. They represent strength, leadership, and confidence. Dogs are loyal and noble.
Okay.
They're seen as a family unit. So if you're trying to bring in like a family type environment, dogs are a good one with playfulness. You can make them goofy dogs. You can make them vicious dogs, all kinds of stuff.
Crime fighting dogs, whatever you want.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. But then don't break the law after.
Yep.
That's important. Eagles. Eagles represent integrity, strength, and loyalty. That's probably why we keep it as our
Seal
on our seal. Foxes, unbelievably swift, encouraging action, cunning, confident, and responsive.
Nice.
And then wolves. Wolves are intelligent and very intuitive. Part of that family thing tend to be a little more vicious and have an intimidating factor. So that is literally, there was research studies that went over these animals, just Whoa. So you know, and what the perception of them are.
Okay. So you get to choose yours.
Yeah, we're going to go into that.
We're going to go into the action plan, mm-hmm. how to choose it and incorporate it mm-hmm. so you can become unstoppable.
Yeah, because it literally statistically has shown that your resilience, your positive mental status goes up if you're using a personal mascot.
Okay, so we're gonna get into a quick coffee segment.
Yes.
And then we're going to help you choose your personal mascot animal.
I drank pots and pots and pots and pots of strong black coffee, trying to keep my sleepy soul awake. But the sleepiness still comes along, and when it does, it's fast and strong. I end up with a bad case of the shakes.
Okay, before we go into the coffee segment, I want you guys to know that I got the honor of being a guest on, it is, let's see, A Real Affliction, BPD Culture and Stigma, and we're talking about borderline personality disorder. So Cynthia interviewed me.
What's the name of the podcast?
A Real Affliction. It's A Real Affliction. It's like a body.
So it's another podcast, mm-hmm. Real Affliction.
A Real Affliction, and they're going over borderline personality disorder, culture, and stigma. So we actually wrote a book, Millie the Cat Has Borderline Personality Disorder.
Mm-hmm.
And so she was featuring that and talking about, as a therapist, how I have therapeutically managed borderline personality disorder and how I think it's actually a very remarkable disorder personally. But
I like it.
Yeah, so we're on that, and I'll let you know when it comes out, and I'll actually put it into our newsletter.
Okay, check it out. Check out the newsletter. Mm-hmm. Check out the books. They're mm-hmm. on the Amazons. You yep. can download them for free.
Yeah, the Kindle versions are free.
Yeah,
so,
we like that.
Yeah, so you can actually just see it. That's yeah. great. Okay, for our coffee segment, I wanted to find coffees for dogs. Now, things got weird. Things got weird a little bit.
Okay.
Okay. So it is not okay to feed your dog coffee.
What?
Yeah. Stop.
What? That's the only way I bond with our dogs. We wake up in the morning.
It's
we have
poison.
Our,
we it's have poison
our,
for them.
We have our coffee. Is it really poisonous
yeah,
for them?
Yeah, it's really bad actually okay. for them. I have never shared my coffee with an animal. I realize this, that our coffee beans are sacredly kept away from our animals.
Uh-huh.
And so, yeah, but don't feed your dog coffee. Okay. It's bad for them. So come to find out, there's not a big market for coffee substitute items for dogs, but mm-hmm. I found a few.
Okay.
There's the Capowino
for wiener dogs,
which is Winston and Porter. That's the company.
Okay.
And it's a healthy coffee alternative for dogs. It is $17 a pound.
Whoa.
Yes.
That's some luxury bean there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So it's actually not a coffee, but it's a version of a lactose-free milk with enzymes and various vitamins for your dog.
So you have your coffee, you give your dog your really expensive mm-hmm. lactose-free enzymes.
Yeah, and they show it like it's in this little bowl, like a big...
Why so much dog stuff?
Huh?
Are we dog people now?
I
Are we dog people now? All right.
Here we great. Go. Okay, so and they showed it in this cute little bowl. You could put like little, not paprika, cinnamon on the top.
Oh, well, that's do dogs like cute. Cinnamon? Is cinnamon okay for dogs?
I actually don't know. That's just what they showed on the thing.
Talk to your vet. Jesse's not a vet.
I am not a vet.
That's your disclaimer. Okay.
Dogalette.
Dogalette is the next uh-huh. one.
So it's Lila and Me.
What's Lila and Me?
That's the company.
Oh, the company Lila and Me makes
dog lattes. Dog lattes, yes.
Okay.
So it's rich in probiotics. It supports a healthy bladder and kidneys. It's antifungal, and it's an anti-inflammatory.
Wow, maybe we should be drinking these things.
I know. And it's $18 a pound. It seems like that's kind of the market standard. You froth it. You use Ooh. Your frother and,
nice.
And then you serve it in a bowl that they can lick out of.
Okay.
Pretty cute. And then that was it. That's all I could find on
There's
that.
There's only two dog coffees.
Yeah.
So we've already reviewed them, so we never have to do that again.
Exactly. But okay. I did find a vitamin blend electrolyte drink, kind of like a vitamin water for...
Like Gatorade
for your dog.
Dog-a-rade.
Mm-hmm.
Because Gatorade's for gators, for alligators.
Okay. Oh, that's right. So
Dog-a-rade's for dogs.
Yeah, that's right. So it's actually called Wolf Spring Vitamin Blend Water Drink.
Whoa. Sounds like it's more for wolves than dogs, but okay.
I think it's cute how they market a lot of dog items with wolves on them. Like their little chihuahua is going to be a wolf.
Yeah.
They're trying to embody. I thought about that with the personal mascots.
Well, most dogs have a personal mascot of a wolf.
Oh, so that's
just the way it works.
So it's just like you guys. But you can buy this on Amazon for a 6-pack is $20.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's an expensive 6-pack.
It is. They have these different versions, though. I actually kind of was like, yeah, this makes sense. They have a calming one that has like...
Xanax in it.
Xanax. Our one dog. Oh, the girlfriend needs something.
Yep.
Because she's just out of control. So they have a calming one. They have a multivitamin. And then they have a weight management. So that's our other dog.
Yeah. We have a fat dog and we have a neurotic dog. Yeah. So
I was like, this could not... And you just kind of sprinkle it on their food or they can drink a little bit in out of a bowl.
Okay.
And it's a pretty great one. So, so specialty drinks for your animals.
Okay.
Pretty great.
I like it. And if you're tired of dog stuff and you want Jess to go over more cat things or eagle things, what about all the people who have eagle pets?
Eagle
pets. We never
pets.
Talk about anything like that.
Or snakes.
Email her at Jessie. Oh, no, not at Jessie.
Not at Jessie.
The Morning Struggle Podcast at gmail.com.
And then you're putting the raffle.
And then you're putting the raffle.
Maybe I'll get some of these dog ones. And if you're a dog owner, let me know. And we can put you in the raffle. And if you win, I'll send you some dog alternative drink ideas.
We are not doing that. I'm okay with the knitted hats and the merchandise and the
but
books.
But $20 worth a pound of dog alternative drink you're not okay with?
You don't even buy me $20 drinks.
That's true. Actually, that's very accurate.
All right. Well, cool. There you go. There's some dog coffee stuff, just in case. So don't be feeding your dog coffee.
It's poison.
Bad for him.
Yeah.
Okay.
So are grapes. Did you know that?
No.
Yeah.
Jeez.
No
that's
grapes.
That's my favorite thing. I sit down with a bunch of grapes and some coffee with my dogs in the morning, and we talk about... You know, mailmen and cats, you know, but no
oh,
more, I guess.
Goodness.
Ruining fun times. All right, well, let's get back on track to personal mascots. You're going to tell us how to pick one and embody it.
Yes.
And then what it does to our stoicness.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's do it.
Let's hope you make the most of it, my boy.
I want you to figure out what you want to embody.
What I want, what you want to embody as in...
What characteristics
you
yeah.
want?
Yeah. So, for example, I like our little family to be hardworking, working together for a greater good. So I think of us as our mascot as a bee.
Oh, I like bees.
Yeah. So okay. A cute little bee. That's our family mascot. I didn't know if you knew that already.
I didn't know that.
But now you do.
Now I do.
So our family mascot is a bee because I like this idea. But it depends on what you're looking for. So if you're trying to make it as like camaraderie as a family, if it's a group. So if you have like
a
book club or a Girl Scout group or a mountain biking team or something, coming up with some sort of mascot for that is a good way to bring people in and help identify whatever characteristic you're trying to bring to the group, but then also bring everyone together because you don't feel lonely, right? The mascot brings everybody together. And then your personal piece, if you're trying to find a mascot for weightlifting or for, I always use mountain biking or how you're a mom, I don't know, just some sort of mascot in that way.
Social groups for getting a better job. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. So you're trying to figure out what you want to embody and then brainstorm animals that represent that for you.
Okay, like you gave the list, but I'm guessing it's on the internet.
Oh, yeah. And this is more about your personal piece. Like if
so
I was
if
gonna...
I think bees are scary because they sting you, then... maybe it shouldn't be, hey, bring us together in a family. Maybe if I want to be vicious, I can have the bee.
Yeah, but like that's the thing. It's like I would never pick a bison because bison are really scary to me and feel kind of clunky to me. So if I'm trying to be a better mountain biker, I'm probably not going to have a personal mascot of a bison.
Yeah, because they
that's
are.
My,
yeah, okay, makes
my
sense.
Idea of it. Does that make sense? So sit there, brainstorm ideas. You can do this as a group is a good way to bring people together too, but also for your personal stuff. Getting others involved, the camaraderie of it is very important. And then start using that animal.
What do you mean start using that animal?
So let's say the rabbit, for example. If you want to be super swift up a hill when you're running, Okay, you go, I'm the rabbit. And you think about being a rabbit and a little, or you can think of a rabbit running next to you or that kind
so
of thing.
So you're visualizing this animal.
You're trying to...
Embodying.
Yes, embody. That's okay. The word that we're looking for. So you're embodying that animal in order to assist in using it to move forward. Because it does. Your mindset and you embodying this really does change your outcomes. You do believe you're swifter. You are stronger. You're more resilient. You have a positive attitude. Which then demonstrates that you can do that thing, which then reinforces that, and you continue to get stronger, faster, better, all of these different things.
Synergistic approach. I like it.
Isn't that amazing? Okay, so you're using that animal, and then you're going to reevaluate as needed. So if I'm weightlifting, if I was going to weightlift, I would probably use a bison because I feel like they're super strong.
Have you seen bison shoulders? Super buff.
They don't even need the hockey gear under there.
They skip leg day quite a bit. Most of those kind
Never
of animals do.
Skip leg day. But if I'm running up a hill, if I want to be swift, I'll probably use a rabbit. And using these different things and bringing in that animal will be able to actually improve your outcomes.
Okay.
So
and then do you create little mascot costumes or stuffed animals, or what do you do with there?
That is totally up to you. You can, a lot of like coat of arms, you can do something like that.
Ooh, you could do a shirt with a tiger on the back of it.
Yeah.
So that makes sense.
That is how we're tying this in. Very good. Very good. Yeah. So like Rocky, Eye of the Tiger.
His personal mascot's a tiger because exactly. It's a vicious fighter.
Uh-huh.
And he puts it on a shirt.
Yep. So, and then he embodies that creature.
He embodies that creature. Mm-hmm. So every time he looks in the mirror behind himself, he's in a two mirror. When he looks in one mirror and then there's
mirror.
A mirror behind him, mm-hmm. he sees the tiger and gets a reminder.
Well, and people do the same thing with tattoos. Like they embody an animal.
Oh yeah, that's why there's a lot of animal tattoos.
There's a lot of animal tattoos. The same, you can put it on your shirt. You can have some sort of sticker. You can put it on. I mean, there are all these different things where we do tend to adopt an animal that tends to embody us. We think
we
of that.
Want to be.
Yes, and then using that animal actually does positively outcome on your behaviors, your tactics, your morals, whatever the thing is that you're embodying that animal for. It does have a positive outcome for that.
I like it. And so maybe it's not as crazy as you think to have all these animal
personal mascots.
No,
this is actually statistically shown to be effective. So that's why I want you to really take the time and think about it and be like, yes, I am a fighter. So I'm going to embody that tiger. And using that animal makes you a better fighter.
That makes sense. Okay. So if you're already doing this, mm-hmm. you're justified. Keep doing it.
Absolutely. Keep going.
Keep going.
Get some other animals. Get a whole farm going.
A whole farm. If you want to be farmy animal mascots.
A zoo probably makes more sense. Yeah, okay.
A zoo's better. Mm-hmm. But if you're not doing it, go ahead and try it.
Yeah.
So next time you're doing something difficult, embody mm-hmm. an animal that's easy for.
Mm-hmm.
And then next thing you know, you're winning races and you're fighting off villains.
Yes.
whatever
because,
you're talking
about.
Or
your
family's super close-knit.
Exactly.
Or tight-knit like a wolf pack.
Like a wolf pack or a beehive or whatever the things are. So that's the thing. We kind of already do this as a society anyway. So like it's statistically shown to be effective.
So embrace it.
Embrace it and love it and move forward and add animals.
Okay. I like it. Is that the action plan?
That's the action plan.
All right. Well, this is a good one. This one's easy because you already do it for me.
Yes.
So I'm done. Check this one off the list. I am successful.
Yeah.
All right. Perfect. All right. Well, there you go. So feel free to reach out to us. Thank you all for letting us joining us every day and letting us do this podcast.
You guys are great.
Really appreciate it. Let's keep moving forward. Mm-hmm. Go out there and
build a better you.
Thanks, guys.